Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Shit Show with Jaybo. How the hell are each and every one of you? Thank you for listening, whoever you might be out there. I see the numbers, and I'm pretty damn happy with the numbers. So keep on listening. Tell a friend. This is the Shit Show with Jaybo, and I actually went to see Kiss this past week. And I know if you've been listening closely, I know that the last episode I did, I actually wasn't going to go see Kiss, but I listened to it again, and there was some point at the very end. You can go back and re-listen if you feel like it, but there's a point when you can tell that my mind switches, and it goes from, I don't have to see Kiss, to, I'm going to go fucking see Kiss. This is the last time they're ever going to come to my town. So the deal with Kiss is, I'll tell you all about the show, but it's their very last tour, the end of the road tour. Now, they had done this before, back tour, but this is 19 years later. To be honest, then they were going quite strong. I thought the show was amazing the other night. However, it's clear that Paul Stanley is, he's aging. His voice is aging. I love Paul Stanley, and he put on an amazing show. But I saw him about a year and a half ago, and I remember thinking, yeah, it's time for them to maybe get off the road, you know. But they're doing this one more show, sorry, this one more tour, and it was, well, let me back up for a second. So, I did my last podcast, you guys remember that, it was, I think it was a Saturday night, and I had to work the next morning. I don't really have the money, but it's weird whenever all odds are against me going or doing something, especially like let's say, if I didn't have the money to buy anything, that's when I'm likely to buy something. If I'm supposedly not eating sugar, well, that's when I'm likely to buy a candy bar. If I'm not, you know, supposed to get it on with women other than the ones I'm dating, well, you guys get the picture. And, you know, not that I do that in particular. I'm just making, you know how it is. It's like human nature. You want what you can't have, and you do things that maybe you shouldn't. And so I went to Kiss, and I decided at the spur of the moment, I told my girlfriend I was going. She was completely fucking pissed off. She was so angry. It went from, like, she'd get super angry when I wanted to go, and then I'd say, fine, I won't go. And then she'd go, okay, well, you can go. And I'd be like, no, I'm good. Then 5 minutes later, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to go. She's like, what? I can't believe it. It's our one night alone. You know, I wanted to play music with you. I said, I know, honey, I know. I want to play music with you too. And presumably, we'll have plenty of nights to play music. A lot of great music. She's amazingly talented. You guys heard her jingle writing skills, like off the cuff jingle writing skills last time. I said, we'll have plenty of nights to do this, sweetie. Kiss is only playing one night. Like, this is it. I'm a pretty big Kiss fan. Like, I've learned to love Kiss in the past, like, 5 years. And, you know, I told you guys the story about my being high on opium and my buddy singing the lyrics to Strutter. And me just thinking, you know, Kiss, I don't know. You always hear about Kiss, but the sophisticates kind of tell you that they're stupid and they aren't, you know, whatever, they're not intelligent, and they're boneheads, and they're ridiculous, and they're cartoon, and they made a horrible movie back in the 70s, and all these things are true. And they're kind of a parody rock band, but in another way, they're like one of the greatest rock bands of all time. It's not the original lineup anymore, but that original lineup went away in about 1980. You can't beat the original lineup of Kiss as far as Kiss lineups go. Ace Frehley had such a great style. Go ahead and go online and find original Kiss from the 70s or even when they reunited a little bit in the 90s with Ace Frehley. And he has this way of like bouncing back and forth with his guitar. And he's one of the only guys that his solos looked so like fun and kind of easy. And some like his solos, like you could whistle along to them. And he had such a great feeling and a great energy for that band. No doubt one of the reasons they made it, you know, and that's how bands work. The chemistry has to be there, and that's imprinted in people's minds, and I don't think it could have happened any other way. There's no way you can predict chemistry, but when it happens, they say when bands get together that first time, they know immediately. Of course, that's not always the case, and maybe they're lying, but there is something to a band's chemistry and the way humans, you know, interact and the synergy that humans, you know, bands are a great way to do it. Business partners. Bands are a great way to, a great example of that. Business partners, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, just buddies. When the right humans are together, there's a world of endless possibilities with what they can do. So anyway, it was not the original lineup. My girlfriend was totally pissed. At some point I just left and she hit me with a barrage of texts that was, you know, like I'm embarrassed to recall them really. I mean, I guess I could, right? I have no shame really. And she took it all back, but she was saying things like, what the hell was she saying? We're fucking over, you fucking asshole. If I'm pregnant, I'm going to kill our baby, you know, just off the wall shit. And I'm texting her back and trying to be like, Hey, little mama, you know, like, you're not going to leave me and you don't mean all these things. You're just mad. So I'll be back in a few hours, you know? So anyway, I get down to the Kiss show. Let's just skip forward to that. I get to the Kiss show. I didn't have a ticket. It was so damn near sold out. I went up to try to buy a ticket and the only thing available was, about $162 tickets, I guess, in the decent seats, like, not on the floor, but on the first level. So I didn't feel like dropping $162. I had a budget of about $50 I was willing to spend. And first of all, are you guys Kiss fans at all? I would highly recommend them. And if you're going to start out listening to Kiss, just get, you know, Kiss is one of those bands that I would recommend a greatest hits, you know, kind of like the Eagles. It's a great starter. And if you want to go deeper than that, but they have hits from all eras that are great. I mean, I can name you three right now. You know, you got like Love Gun. Love Gun is maybe, I think maybe the first song on their first record. I'm not 100% sure, but it's so fucking good. And the harmonies in the chorus of Love Gun are so fucking epic. And I love the way Paul Stanley sings. Somehow he seems so sincere saying the most ridiculous, cliched rock lyrics of all time. He's got a heart in there. There's something about him, the way he sings to me. It's Gene Simmons doesn't have it. Gene Simmons writes some cool songs, but Gene Simmons is kind of trying to be the cool guy, and he's a little perverted, and it kind of comes across. Paul Stanley somehow, in all his makeup and all his fucking moves, comes across as very sincere somehow, no matter what he sings. So Love Gun, just a couple sample lyrics like, I really love you, baby. I know what you got. Let's get together, mama, and get hot. No more tomorrow, baby. The time is today. Girl, I can make you feel okay. You know, silly, but it's sincere somehow. And it's addictive, that dude's voice. Then we fast forward to a song like, it's a disco song, and it's like their big international hit, I Was Made for Loving You, Baby. I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving me. You know, and that's a disco song, right? So it went from hard rock, you know, hard rock, dark, cartoonish, doomy, but fun rock to straight up disco. And then there's Lick It Up, right? And Lick It Up is like, they took off their makeup in like 83 and they played all these songs at the show. And Lick It Up is straight up hair metal. And it, Lick It Up. Adam Carolla used to always joke and he'd be like, how the fuck do four grown men get in a room together and come up with a song? And that gets past everybody's scent, you know, everybody's filters, like Lick It Up. It's only right now or whatever. That they're all good fucking songs, totally kind of different genres, in my opinion, stylized differently anyway. And then you fast forward to like 1997, the Psycho Circus, it's fucking crazy shit. I don't know. I was initiated into Kiss, and I ended up really loving them, obviously. But it's different than like the Beatles, because I don't take them altogether seriously. It's more of a fun thing. It's like, it's just carefree. It just makes me feel really good when I listen to Kiss. Like you know that song Africa by Toto? It's kind of, you can make fun of it. It's worthy of being made fun of, you know, in a sense, because it's kind of silly, but it makes you feel good, you know. Kiss is like that for me. So I had to go see them. So I found a guy in the street. I said, hey, man, I got $40. You got a ticket? He's like, oh, man, these tickets are $80. So I ended up giving him $60. I haggled him down. He haggled me up to $60. And I walked in the arena, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I can go to the seat I'm supposed to be in, which is a nosebleed seats, and just have a cool time witnessing it but not be able to see it very well. Because I saw the Smashing Pumpkins there about 6-8 months ago, and I was in the nosebleeds, and it was still cool, but I couldn't really see them. So I just went for the floor. I said, fuck it. I saw like the first section, then the floor section. I went to the floor section, and it was an older gentleman. I handed him my ticket, and he scanned it, and I just walked very quickly past him. And he said, oh, 221's your section. He kind of pointed up, and I said, thank you, sir. And I ran past him, and as soon as I walked past him, but as soon as I turned the corner, he couldn't see me. I darted down those stairs, like skipping like 3 or 4 at a time, and just boom, 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 the whole way down to the floor. And I got down there, and there's a bunch of Kiss fans, and it's like the nice section, right? But it's still like, there's still some bathrooms and shit like that. So I'm looking around, and I open this curtain, you know, and it's just like, you have to be bold. You have to go for it. You know, they might kick you out. They'll definitely send you to your seat at the very least, but you can always try, right? And generally, people don't want to do their jobs. They're only getting paid about $12 an hour. They don't really give a shit, you know. As long as you're not causing a ruckus, they're going to let you walk by. So I just walked by these two people and walked by them. And, you know, as you walk by, you're expecting them to go, hey, excuse me. I never heard an excuse me. Then as I walk further past, I'm waiting for somebody to say something. I'm just waiting for a tap on my back. Doesn't happen. I'm on the floor. I didn't want to get greedy, so I didn't have any illusions of sitting on the floor because I'm sure they're all sold out. So what I did was I saw a section about the first level of bleachers right off the floor, about 3 in, about 8 rows up, and I saw about 7 or 8 empty seats. So I figure, fuck it, I'm going to sit there. I'll get a good seat. And so I sit down, and it's like perfect eye level with the stage. You know, Kiss hasn't come on yet. Massive Kiss logo on a big stage cover, and big Kiss Army symbols, like huge. Everything's massive. And I look around, and there's like video monitors the entire way around the arena. And it's really intense as far as like the amount of shit that was everywhere. You know, this is going to be an amazing rock show. And so I wait about 20 minutes. And right, you know, the lights go down, the manic crowd roars, and the curtain falls, and Kiss is there, and they go into Detroit Rock City. You know, and right as soon as it started, like 7 people like roll into the row I'm in. So I like get over one seat, and I just stand there waiting for them to like tell me to leave. And they didn't do it. Like, I don't know if those weren't their seats either, if they just came down or if they just left me alone. I don't know what happened, but either way, I secured a seat, probably, you know, between $160 and $200 ticket. I was set. Now, I was still having these feelings about my girlfriend. So the whole first half of the show, like, I'm thinking, like, just kind of depressed. The thing, I'm like, man, what the fuck is her problem? Why didn't she want me to go to this? I mean, I know why, but, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Of course, I would understand. She's texting me. My phone dies, you know. That can't look good to the girlfriend. But I pushed that out of my mind, and I watched Kiss go through every hit I'd ever known by them. The pyrotechnics, people say, oh, were there fireballs? Yeah, there were fucking fireballs. Like, it was crazy fireballs. I've never seen a show like it. Like, you gotta understand, there was, on the ceiling, there was like massive, probably like 20-foot medallions, and about 15 of them all above the stage. not to mention massive like screens where you could see all the action. And at different times, like the guitarist would be playing a solo and he'd have a rocket at the end of his guitar and he would shoot it at one of these fucking medallions and then they'd explode, you know. And it was just, he'd do it like during his solo part, he did that with each one. Like he just shot every one with his fucking axe and it exploded, you know. Gene Simmons does this amazing thing called God of Thunder, where everything goes silent, the lights go off, and there just becomes a spotlight right on him. And he gets has a mouthful of blood, and you just see it coming because you've seen it before. But he sits there and pretends he's like this possessed demon. He looks really bizarre, and his head's jerking, and it's white makeup and just, you know, kabuki makeup, and, you know, 7-inch heel, silver armor on. I mean, it's crazy, crazy black hair. And at some point, he, like, throws up this blood all over himself, and he shakes his long-ass tongue, and it just goes everywhere. It goes all over his bass and all over his chest armor. And it's kind of scary because he's playing his bass, and it's all super reverberated and spooky sounding. And then they always go into a song called God of Thunder, and it's one of his, you know, classic jams, and it's like, God of Thunder and rock and roll. And while he's playing it, he's lifted on a fucking, you know, whatever he's standing on lifts about literally 70 feet into the air, like higher than I've ever seen any. I mean, if he fell, he'd be dead. If he only fell when it was like halfway up, he'd be fucking dead. He'd be toasted. And it was just unbelievable. I mean, I saw Kiss about a year and a half ago, and they did that. They lifted off the stage, but it was like half as big as this. Like he was literally like almost like, you know, 3/4 of the way up in this fucking stadium, like the top of the stage, you know. Or sorry, it wasn't a stadium. It was an arena. And I'm just thinking, he's 70 years old. He's up there, you know, what the fuck? When those guys started out in a New York club and had little pyrotechnics and were with their shirts off and playing this grungy shit, can you imagine like going from that and like where he is now and just how, because in his mind, he just started a band and he sold some records and all of a sudden, here you are. I mean, it's just so fucking crazy and absurd. The show and the lives these fucking crazy rock stars led, who all they wanted to do was start a band and make some music and make some people happy, you know? Totally mind-blowing. At one point, Paul Stanley, the singer, he puts his arm through this hoop and he stands on this rope, like this little rope hoop, and they take him off the stage and he flies through the air like a Superman, Tarzan, like Tom Morello said during his... Oh, that's another thing. If you guys want to know what's great about Kiss, go ahead and watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame introduction that Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine does, and I was literally shouting at the television, you know, how fucking awesome it was and how awesome he was for talking how rad Kiss is. And he's like this like leftist, you know, revolutionary motherfucker, you know, communist, but he loves Kiss, and Kiss is like a conservative all-American band. And he describes them way better than I ever could. But so the singer, what's his name? Pete. Oh shit. Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley. He gets on the stage at the other end of the arena, a little tiny stage, and they do Love Gun, and they do I Was Made for Loving You, Baby. And it was totally groovy. I was totally grooving, man. And oddly enough, like my favorite moment of the whole thing was when they settled down and their first encore was Beth. You know, Beth is like the ballad that the drummer always sings for Kiss. You know, they always give one song to the drummer, and that's Beth. And it was a big hit, but it's cheesy as fuck. But this guy actually played piano, which I thought was impressive. Or it was a self-playing piano, but it looked to me like he actually played the piano. And that was the greatest moment of the show when they calmed down and did Beth. And at the end, the other guys like come out and like pat him on the back. And it was like this touching, tender moment, you know. You know, in the stark contrast to all the fucking fire and the like pseudo, you know, Satan worship and the demon, you know, spewing fire, and just there's a lot of fire, okay, tons and tons of fire, and you know, Gene Simmons' face all over these monitors just looking super wicked and shit, like but anyway, Beth was a great moment. So that was their encore, and then they did like 3 or 4 more songs, and of course they finish up the show with I want to rock and roll all night, you know, and party every day. I think it's called Rock and Roll All Night. Who knows what it's called, but everybody knows the song, right? And they just let loose about, 50,000 tons of, red, white, and blue confetti. And the guitarist and Gene Simmons get on these fucking, cranes, construction cranes that are on the stage for the first time they get on them. And literally those things go the entire way out, halfway back to the arena. And I'm like, at that point, I'm kind of exiting the show because I want to beat traffic. But I'm watching, this thing. And, I'm 40 feet away from the guitarist, but I'm off the ground, 60 feet. And that's where he is on this crazy crane, just being surrounded by confetti. And he's just, looking kind of at everybody. And just, it's just such a bizarre, surreal experience. And it was unbelievable. The whole thing, it was, I wasn't expecting it to be that good because I'd seen him a year and a half ago and it wasn't that good, but they really pull out all the stops. This is called the End of the Road Tour. If I was you guys, I would do three things. I would go right now, listen to Tom Morello, introduce Kiss in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on YouTube. Then I would go get a Kiss Greatest Hits record and just dive in. That's going to be all the most accessible stuff. If you want to go further than that, please do. The one with the silver cover is pretty damn good. And then three, go buy a ticket because, this is the last time you'll ever get to see them. And they're coming to your town or somewhere near, I bet. They're coming back in August near where I live, I think to Hershey, Pennsylvania. I don't think I'll go, but you never know. I mean, I kind of doubt it. We'll see. If I have a lot of money and a weekend off or something, I may do it. But, so I fucking left the show feeling good about Kiss, just rocking the fuck out. I've been rocking their CDs ever since then. And I got home an hour later, took a whole ration of shit from my girlfriend. Didn't get to bed till 2 in the morning and had to get up at 5:30. But, that's the rock and roll lifestyle sometimes, You rock and roll, crazy women, Kiss, fire, confetti, accusations of fucking unknown women in your car instead of going to Kiss. It's all part of the day's work for J-Bo here. But, so what is next on the agenda? Go see Kiss. That's all I'm going to say about Kiss. How's everybody doing? Oh, let me give you my theme song. Here we go. Okay, so we're back. Thank you for listening. This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. I just told all of you about I did 20 minutes talking about the Kiss concert I went to. Killer. Just in case you're tuning in the middle, which is fucking impossible. Obviously, if you're listening, you heard the whole thing. Hey, Mike, my buddy Mike might be listening. Hey, Mike, I hope you're having a nice trail ride. A trail walk. My buddy Mike is... Some of you listeners know I dropped him off the Appalachian Trail about, I think it's 3 weeks ago. He might be going close to a month. I think 3 weeks ago. And he's the whole way up into the North. He hiked from Georgia up into North Carolina, into the Smokies. And he seems like he's doing real good. I had to give him a pep talk. So Mike, keep at it, brother. You're kicking some ass and I hope you're relaxing into it and enjoying it. And whenever you can, give me a call and we'll get you on the Shit Show. Okay. Again, maybe we'll get you on a real nice long podcast for at the month mile marker. So maybe an update before that. That'd be cool. Personally, what I'm doing, I'm coming up with a band name for the group that I'm trying to form. And it's very interesting because, it's very interesting to me anyway. If I describe it well enough, maybe it's interesting to you as well. So I'm coming up with a band name. And I'll tell you what I got here. Tell me if any of these stick out. Go ahead and message me if you like any of them. Okay, I'll just list all the ones I wrote down this evening. Genghis Tex, The Skinned Mia Deer Boys, Spitzpub, which is German, for like Rebel or something. Jesse Boggs, Jesse and Cousin Dave, the Hairspray Metal Kids, Exit Left, Psychic Shrapnel, Book 88, which is no reference to Hitler. Eight is the, shit, how's it work? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Yeah, somehow the eighth letter, like Hitler's been associated with 88. I kind of like it because it's a little controversial. People might get the wrong idea, and I would enjoy like trolling people that way. But really, it's a high school reference. These guys wrote "fuck Ed" in massive block letters on the bleachers in my high school, and instead of erasing it, the janitor wrote, colored in the letters and put "Book 88." So forever, Book 88 was associated with hating the principal. So I kind of like that name. But then I got the Inside Out Africans. That's basically proclaiming my whiteness. The Free Thinking No Herd combo. Ghosts of Greensburg. Anti-Media. No Term Bloodbath. Carnival of Sorts. Mexico. Red Barn Silver Silo. German Dad. Black Tea. Gypsy Dildo Punks. Volano Beach. Blood Dungeon. Bleeding Eyes. Numb Brain. Keystone Evergreen Sunshine. Doomsday Sunshine. Lesbianica. The Transituationists. So I'm going to mix down an EP, four songs that I did with my cousins, basically, and my girlfriend. She sang on one of the tracks. Going to mix down with a guy named Pete Drevere in Youngstown, Ohio, in about a week and a half. And I'm really excited to see how it goes. I have no idea. I have no idea how it's going to sound. I know anything can be mixed well. I mean, if this guy's a good mixer, and he can make it sound palatable and the songs are good, I don't know. It could be good. You know, when you put art out into the world, I don't know. It's always a big guessing game, you know. Like, who the fuck knows? I would like to think that it's going to be something that people hear and they're going to be just, oh, wow, that's fucking definitely going somewhere. But it could fizzle, you know. We'll see. I hope it does something because I love growing asparagus, but I would rather grow a rock and roll fortune, you know what I mean? Even at the tender age of 43. But my cousin's only 22, the guy I play with, so our median age is like, you know, 30, which is still probably too old, you know. But, you know, whatever. I think the reason people don't do rock and roll later in life is because they have other things they're doing. And I guess I do too, but I'm not attached to those things. You know, I don't have any kids. I mean, my girlfriend is a great, she has a son, and he's awesome. And he's as close to a son or a stepson I've ever had, but you know what I mean. Like, it's a little bit different at this point in time than actually having my own son. Anyway, so yeah, those are all the fucking names I came up with. You guys like any of them, let me know. Go ahead and reverse the podcast machine, about hit the 15-second button like four times, listen to them again, and send me messages which ones you like. I bought some notebooks today. I find it very refreshing, or not refreshing. I love buying notebooks, and I hope to use them. And maybe that's from seeing like Kurt Cobain's notebook book, you know, that he put out with all his notebooks. But really, I was doing that shit before. It's just a thing you do, right? It's cheap. And I always had kind of an issue with dudes who would get like very nice leather-bound leather-bound notepads, you know, with another piece of leather coming off, and you twirl it around a little button to close it with really nice paper. Because it's very rare that I have a thought that comes out, unless it's super rehearsed, that's like worthy of being on very, very nice paper and like a nice leather-bound fucking thing. It always bothered me when people like live this artist type thing, but they weren't messy about it. They were kind of like perfect and very stylized about everything they did. It's a certain type of artist, and you can see what type of artist people are by their notebooks, by the way they carry themselves. And some people like don't care about how they look and how things look. They care about the content of their thoughts. And some people are more about the looks. And they both have merit, you know. But I was always a person that when I'd get notebooks, it'd be very, very messy and just like scattered thoughts and everything. And maybe I would distill that down into something as opposed to beautiful paper and beautiful leather-bound thoughts and trying to get laid under a fucking tree, eating apples and drinking wine. You know what I mean? Like that shit. It's always been a little different for me. And I'm really basing this off of, I had this buddy. I think we're still friends. I hope so. Nice guy. His name is Aaron Kranz. And we were in a band for a long time, and he was always just so perfect and nuanced and, about things, and always just annoyed me. You know, the type of person that would read The Artist's Way and could get super inspired off it. I don't know. Like, I always resented people who would read that stupid fucking book, The Artist's Way. Because I don't know that there is an artist's way. It's really just a romanticized version, I'm assuming. Or maybe there's some great insight into there. I have no fucking idea. But, yeah, that was back in my early Seattle days when I was thinking about those type of things. Pretty far off from this reality now where I'm, you know, growing asparagus and doing podcasts and trying to do music and trying to have a life and trying to be a good guy and my familial obligations, trying to meet those requirements when I don't have to. I don't have the nerve to just up and fucking leave, although that sounds really nice, right? I mean, the ties that bind really bind you sometimes. When I see people that just up and leave and they say, fuck it, it's like, hey, what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine. I mean, that's a great philosophy. I've never been able to do it. I've always had the ties, you know, the psychic connections and like, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's I want to be a hero or something. Maybe it's fucking annoying, you know, maybe people that I'm trying to be a hero with and be there for, maybe they're just fucking annoyed and they just see exactly what I'm doing. And although they appreciate it, they probably just say, hey, take a hike, motherfucker. I'm fine. I don't need your fucking shitty company. We'll see. But, what else? What else is going on? How's everybody's week going? Are you guys happy? Did you eat some decent food today? I've been eating a lot of fast food lately. I still am mostly vegetarian. I feel like I'm living on the road all the time, though. I have a kitchen here where I stay. I stay 3 nights a week in another town. And I have a bedroom, but I just end up eating fast food and all this shit. I really want to cut down on it. Because, man, I'm getting a little bit of a fucking gut. You know, I want to get back down to 31, 30 jeans, man, or 32, 30 at least. But you know what's funny about jeans these days? If they aren't stretch, you don't even know what size you wear. You know what I mean? Like, I can wear a pair of 31, 30 black stretch jeans because the fucking waistband, you know, stretches. But if it wasn't stretchy, if it was dress pants, it'd be more like 32, 33. Jesus H. Christ. Anyway, I think I hit a wall here. This is the shit show at Jaybo. I hope you guys enjoyed. This is a little bit of a short one, but I don't want to, you know, give you any filler. This is all killer, no filler, right? And please hit me up on not on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, as in shit show Jaybo. I'm on Facebook, Shit Show Jaybo. I'm on Podomatic, TSS with Jaybo. I'm on iTunes. I don't know how you're listening to this right now. But if you know any drummers in the Pittsburgh area, any musicians, hit me up. Let me know. My number's 206-321-4321. Text me. And we'll get that going. I'm trying to get a life full of art. I want to be an online artist, you know, of podcasting and, you know, the next Pootie Pie, you know, mixed with fucking Neil Young, you know, we'll see. Something might work out, or I'll just grow the best goddamn asparagus anybody's ever seen. Dedicate my life to that. We'll see. But I hope you guys are having a beautiful week, and next week, we'll see. I don't know. I'm recording this actually a little bit early. It's like Wednesday, and I just put one out. Maybe I'll just put a supplemental one out. You know, that's what I'll probably do. This is going to be an extra one. So yeah, this will be supplemental. You guys dig it, all right? I love you all for listening, and we'll talk soon. I'll get you a longer one next week, all right? Take care.